G'day world, it is the Sniper of the Skies, New Japan Pro Wrestling's former Double Crown, IWGP Junior Heavyweight and Junior Tag Team Champion, the Aussie with the ammo, Bobby Bullets himself, Robbie Eagles, coming to you, and you are listening to the one and only Chaos Approved Wrestle In.
Hello, hello, hello. It is me, your True Hill Phenom, SP3. We are back once again on WrestleIn.com with another edition of the flagship when it comes to everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, NJPW. Yes, it is time for another edition of Ace Techers. NK couldn't be with us this week because of the scheduling. I was away in Chicago all week for a wedding where I got promoted from a groomsman to a best man. So my head was in a whirlwind, but now we are here.
But it's fine, SP3, because you are a podcast host. You are the host of True Heel Heat. You know how to get away with those words. You can hit a promo like no other.
All improv. Everybody had notes that went up for a speech. Not this guy. All improv off the top of the dome. And you heard her. It is the best of our hosts here on the Ace Techers. She's back with us. It's Sanal. How are you doing?
I am good. It feels like ages because last time I spoke to you was 2 weeks ago. I spoke to you briefly after Royal Quest. And now here we are. We've got a new tour started. Got loads of news to talk about. Okada's on a crazy vendetta right now. World of wrestling. The world of wrestling.
The world of wrestling. Yes, yes. Sanal gets her briefing on things AEW that is related to us in New Japan world right before we start recording with our pre-production meeting.
I watch stuff. I watch AEW, but obviously because of the way that they air AEW in the UK, I get that late anyway. And then on top of you know what? Like, it's hard enough being a wrestling fan. Try being a K-pop fan. You try and combine everything. When your favorite group's got a comeback and you're trying to watch wrestling and all of that, something's got to go on the burner. And it was AEW these past weeks. So, you know what? SP3 is there making sure I know that Okada means business.
Because of like my work, I did have to watch a little bit of wrestling during my time away in Chicago and getting ready for the wedding and doing bachelor parties and rehearsal dinners. Didn't know so much went into a wedding. But
that's a new thing to me. I've never had one of those for the weddings.
They have a rehearsal of what you're going to do on the wedding, and then they have a dinner afterwards.
I'm like, Indian. Whoa. There's too many people. They won't work. You'd have to get like 100 people.
The groom, he's Indian. He's Indian. Yeah, yeah. So
must be American. Americans must be a different breed. We could not be bothered here. More than enough to start without a rehearsal dinner.
She's like, it's more than enough. I've already spent. But yes, I had to do all of that. I was able to keep, you know, up to date with WWE, AEW, because that's what I do with True Hill Heat. That's the main stuff I have to keep a date with. So we had to do this podcast kind of like on a whim. Got it together. Thankful to Sanal for having the time to work with me and get this done. And I then had to, then after setting it up, watch Fighting Spirit Unleash, which was in Las Vegas over this weekend, so we could talk about it on this show. So we are here to talk about it. But there's so much from the last time we were here for Ace Techers and trying to get my brain back into wrestling mode after being
SP3's away. SP3's brain isn't wrestle braining just yet. He's getting into it. The cogs are turning.
It's moving now. It's moving now because we have a lot to discuss, because the last time we were here, we were on Ace Techers. We were talking about the best of the Super Junior Tag League. We are previewing that. We had week one in the time since our last podcast, but we have a bunch of stuff from outside of NJPW proper.
Which I can't promise that I've watched because I see that we're going to talk about a match that I know was amazing. But I've yet to get to it because I think they just put it on New Japan World like a few days ago. I know SC3 is shocked because this is with two of my favorite wrestlers. But like I said, life has been getting in the way. Life has been getting in the way. And it's hard enough to keep up with the Super Junior Tag League, never mind everything going on. So I'll leave SP3 to talk about this and I will just get very excited because I will watch it very soon.
So on the day that Super Junior Tag League kicked off, we had Impact Bound for Glory. We talked about the big matchup that, you know, concerned a New Japan talent, of course, Will Ospreay, the IWGP United Kingdom champion, going up one-on-one with Speedball Mike Bailey, a match that was supposed to happen at the Impact New Japan Multiverse United show back in Los Angeles during WrestleMania weekend in March. It got pushed back and postponed because Ospreay got injured during the New Japan Cup, and then it got booked for
those New Japan tournaments. It's like I saw something online where it's basically like all these Western wrestlers that want to be part of the G1, I want to be part of the New Japan Cup, but they never do it because they know that their bodies will be broken by the end of it. And Ospreay is like, I remember because obviously the Rev Pro anniversary show was after the G1, and I remember like, please God, keep Takagi and Ospreay in good shape, please.
Please. Keep them together. I just need them, you know, bubble gum and tape, put them together so they
like can make Zach it said he needed to do with Bryan Danielson before his match. Just wrap him in bubble wrap.
Put him in a bubble, he'll be fine. But yes, Ospreay, that matchup with Speedball was postponed. It was made for Impact Bound for Glory, the biggest show of the year for Impact Wrestling. Two of the best wrestlers in the world went out there and created absolute magic. One of the most spectacular matches we have seen all year. And Dave Meltzer definitely agrees because he rated this match 5.25 stars, meaning it is the greatest match star rating rise in Impact Wrestling history. Yes.
I mean, do we not think, I'm going to say, is Ospreay not being a bit selfish? Taking all these 5 stars, you know?
I mean,
left, right, and center. Is anyone else going to happen?
He was hoping out Omega because him and Omega got 2 6-star matches this year. And, you know, Omega was climbing up and he got himself tied with Misawa and Okada. But Ospreay has just widened the gap between him and everybody else. Now he's at 31. 5-star matches after this match with Speedball. And when I say like these two guys, just so many mind-blowing, unbelievable sequences, super kick into super kick, Kawada kick into Kawada kick. He had Speedball busting out new moves, doing a basically a Spanish fly fisherman buster at one point off the top rope. Yes.
There are two things you never hear together. a Spanish fly and a fisherman buster.
Yeah, basically the fisherman buster with him facing Ospreay and then into basically a Spanish fly version of it.
Mike Bailey is literally like, I've been watching him for years. He never ceases to amaze me.
Yes, yeah. It was something unbelievable, something magical. Ospreay picking up the win with a Stormbreaker. He bust out the Storm Driver in this matchup. So many great near falls. Ultimo Weapon getting a near fall for Speedball. And yeah, just a spectacular matchup. I believe it went 18 minutes, 5.2 stars, a quarter star more than the other previous kind of GOAT TNA matchup of AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe versus Christopher Daniels back at Unbreakable 2005. But that wasn't
all Impact. Those years ago.
That wasn't Impact Unbreakable, Sanal. That was TNA Unbreakable back in 2005.
Don't mention that to Okada. Don't mention those 3 letters to Okada.
Okada. The 3 letters is coming back. They should have said Okada is coming back. During the video that they said it was coming, they are going back. A big video, big production was made at the end of the show, showed a video of a lot of the roster members from Impact Wrestling digging up a chest out of a water, and they said the wrestling world is bleeding and they need to go back to the past to become reborn. And they opened up a chest that said TNA, and all the memories came out, and Scott D'Amore said, we're back. Dropping the mic, TNA is back officially in January.
You know what? They've signed some UK stars, including Leon Slater, who faced the War Dogs at Royal Quest 3. And I was sad in a sense that I was like, oh, New Japan, take him. But this is great. Like, they are coming back as TNA and they are finding the new stars from across the world.
Yeah, and this has kind of been the kind of what's made their reputation better over the last couple of years is identifying a couple of key stars to bring in at the right time. I think of someone like Speedball Mike Bailey in 2021 or Josh Alexander in 2019. They brought in Sammy Callahan and the Lucha Bros in 2017 and LAX, Santana and Ortiz in 2017. It's been identifying these
names who are now massive and they're in some of the biggest companies in the world.
Exactly. So it's TNA has reborn. They had to go to Impact Wrestling for a while because that name had been dragged through the mud. Not just Okada dragging the name of TNA.
Okada didn't just go around Japan just like, TNA shit. TNA hate it. Let's disgrace the name of TNA.
No, they disgraced the name. They butcherized the name. They tried to be Global Force Wrestling for a while, but they rebranded under Impact Wrestling, and a lot of the credit goes to Scott D'Amore for reforming that company. They rebuilt the bridge to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I felt like the partnership with New Japan has helped out the roster so much and gotten them eyes from the New Japan fans and the New Japan fans watching Impact Wrestling more to see the Speedball Mike Baileys, to see the Motor City Machine Guns, to see the great women's division with the Knockouts with Trinity, Mickie James, Jordynne Grace, Deonna Purrazzo, Giselle Shaw. Like, they have done so much and they've created such a great roster, and they are reborn at a time because they want to embrace the fans. Because for the longest time, and I know you in the UK, Sonal, regardless of it being known as Impact Wrestling for the last 6 years, I know so many of my friends out in the UK, they never called it Impact. They still called it TNA.
Because that's like the sort of, that's what you watch. Like, although I didn't watch it back then, even when I started watching wrestling and they have always had old wrestling shows on like our Sky thing, it was always TNA. It was never Impact. So it's like, that's why, and especially here in the UK where it's not the easiest to access outside wrestling. The fact that it was always TNA and it was easier to watch is why most British people will say, oh, it's TNA.
Exactly. It just makes so much sense to me.
I will miss Impact though, because I like that name.
Yeah, I did too. And it's going to take some getting used to, because it's like TNA, Impact, TNA, Impact. It's going to take some...
Yeah, it's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite confusing, but I'm glad they made that change. I'm glad, someone like Will Ospreay has been very big in bringing up how much he's loved TNA as a fan.
Which means he shouldn't go to AEW, should stay in New Japan, so then he can keep going to TNA.
Well, I don't know. Well, we're going to talk about that as well as we talk about this show. We'll save the Ospreay talk for the power struggle preview.
We'll save me degrading Tony Khan again about taking all the talent. We'll leave that till the end.
Tony Khan taking all your talent, because we got to go from TNA to talking about another out of New Japan activity, because TNA is back. So Okada decided to break somebody's eye out.
Okada was so angry.
TNA is back. Okada broke someone's eye. So TNA, there we go.
TNA is back. Okada is pissed. Okada needs someone to take it out on. And he's found a new target in Bryan Danielson.
So AEW announced for Wednesday, October 25th edition of AEW Dynamite in Philadelphia, of a tag team match of the Blackpool Combat Club's Bryan Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli facing Kazuchika Okada and the AEW International Champion Orange Cassidy. Of course, Orange is a part of Chaos by way of AEW here, and Okada having his debut matchup on Dynamite. Very good matchup, very good main event to the show, an excellent conclusion and finish to the show, which saw Okada and Orange Cassidy double team Bryan Danielson, hitting a big orange punch right to the orbital bone, followed by a rainmaker right to the orbital bone, which took out Bryan Danielson before Claudio Castagnoli was able to come in, hit a big European uppercut to Okada, followed by a pop-up European to Orange to pin the international champion. Claudio has now set himself up for an opportunity at the International Championship on the November 1st edition of AEW Dynamite. But at the conclusion, it was very weird ending to Dynamite because they had a doctor on the side, on the apron, checking on Brian, who was holding his eye, holding his face. You had Claudio checking on him. Meanwhile, you had Okada looking and basically by mannerisms, I was able to get this. He's basically saying, first time it's your arm, now it's your eye.
I love him so much.
He does not give any care in the world. And then it was revealed on the October 28th edition of AEW Collision that Bryan Danielson broke his orbital bone. They don't know if it was from the Orange Punch or the Rainmaker, but he is out of action, will require surgery, and out for the remainder of 2023. So that means now twice Okada and Bryan Danielson have stepped into the ring with each other, and twice Okada has lost, but Bryan Danielson has required surgery.
Kazuchika Okada, the breaker of bones.
The breaker maker.
The rainmaker, the breaker.
The breaker maker, the arm breaker maker, the face breaker maker.
The Bryan Danielson breaker.
The dragon breaker.
No, be careful because that might be like, oh, maybe Shingo. And it's like, oh, don't jinx it. We don't want Shingo breaking anything.
The rainmaker becomes the dragon breaker. What do you think about Okada breaking the orbital bone of Bryan Danielson? And, you know, there's some people that have been saying ever since Forbidden Door, they wanted Okada, Bryan 2 at Wrestle Kingdom.
It's not happening.
After this, do we even suggest that? Do we even think it's a good idea for Bryan Danielson and Kazuchika Okada to be in the ring together?
One, I love how, like, because you're explaining, like, Okada's mannerisms, that this is still playing into the idea that we've still got Dick Okada. The one that we saw in the G1, the one we've been seeing since he had to face the children of New Japan.
Exactly.
And just, I love the idea that, like, obviously he's out for the rest of the year. And then he comes back on January 4th, faces Okada, and then breaks something else.
That's breaks what would happen. Exactly. We're at that point.
Zach needs to go with the bubble wrap again.
Oh, Zach's like, God damn it, Okada. Now I don't know if I'm going to be able to face him again.
Zach's like, I wanted my revenge, and now Okada's taken that from me. Okada ruins everything.
Okada ruins what has been a brilliant year for Bryan Danielson, despite him having to take 2 months off because of Okada breaking his arm at Forbidden Door. He still had probably, I would say, If it's not Will Ospreay as most outstanding wrestler, which he already has that in lock, he already has that stored away. I would say it's Gunther or Bryan Danielson is right there with him, kind of keeping the
that's
pace
why Okada
as far as
did
the great
it.
Matches.
I thought he realized he wasn't at the top of his game. He's like, I'm not going to make rest of the year. We need to take him out. I'm going to take him out. Anyone that I can take, I'm going to take him one out, one by one.
One by one, this maniac, I swear to you. So what do you think now? Because now we have on Collision, it was Claudio Castagnoli who cut a promo saying that he's out for revenge. First, he's going to get his revenge on Orange Cassidy on the November 1st AEW Dynamite. And then he's coming for Okada. For me, this promo sounded like that we're getting Okada versus Claudio now at Wrestle Kingdom. What would you think about that as a big marquee matchup for January 4th?
I'm trying to remember when he was in Japan. What is his reception from the Japanese crowds? Because obviously,
I mean, he got a good reception when he came out with, you know, Blackpool Combat Club.
But was that him, or was it obviously because he was with?
Well, all his spots got big reactions, the swing and everything, and the European uppercuts.
I always find it weird ever talking about Okada and Wrestle Kingdom without any title implications. It just feels weird.
Last time this happened was, 2019? Was him and Jay White.
I mean that's...
Oh, no, that's him, like, and, that... him and Ospreay in 2021.
And that's the thing. And, like, those have always been, like, a very long-standing feud or, like, history. Like, normally Chaos history. I think this will work because, again, like, Claudio's an amazing wrestler. It just... because I'm trying to picture in my head what the Wrestle Kingdom card is looking like. Do you know what I mean? Trying to figure out where it'll fit. Again, we'll probably speak about this with Power Struggle, but, like, Ospreay's role in it and people like that. So while I think it'll work, it's going to be interesting to see what, like, as obviously we get Super Junior Tag League done and then World Tag League, what it's going to be shaping up to and where, if it happens, Okada versus Claudio is going to be. Because you'd have to admit, it's Okada. It's got to be high.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like the big special singles match on the card.
Which you always get in every year. You always get something special with no title implications. Just, it's very rarely includes Okada. Like we said, Ospreay versus Okada was a thing, but normally Okada is up there in the main event in some way. But he won't be.
He won't be this year. We shall
see. That's why he broke Bryan Danielson's bones. He's like, I can't be the top wrestler. I can't main event Wrestle Kingdom. I'm taking my... You know what? I've beaten all the babies. I've got to take out on a veteran now.
I wanted to ask you, because before we get into, like, Bessa, Super Junior Tag League week one update, which is going to be mostly you, because, like I said, I've been away, so you're going to be keeping me up to date with this. Since you brought up Wrestle Kingdom, and we'll talk more about it when we get into Power Struggle as well, I wanted to ask you about the reception so far to the Wrestle Kingdom main event of Sanada versus Tetsuya Naito, and it hasn't been what I would call a positive reception so far. There's been overall, not just from, you know, the fans, you know, whether it be in the UK or the US, it seems like majority of the negativity that I'm hearing towards this main event and the build so far is coming from the Japanese fans who just feel like...
I've not actually heard that.
Yeah, they just feel like they are been disappointed with what has been the Sanada title reign.
It was evil, wasn't it? It was evil. It was evil ruined it.
Hey, I always hear from the Japanese fans that evil is much more adored there. So I don't know if it's the evil. I don't know if it's just overall the Sanada title reign, which we talked about, you know, the last podcast we did. It just hasn't. We named the title of our last podcast, The Uncomfortable Sanada Talk. Mm. And I'm sorry you weren't here for that, because you were the person we really wanted to have that talk with. That we have to come to the acceptance of, if this is really going to be it at Wrestle Kingdom, Sonata's title reign was kind of L. It was kind of L. I don't know if he's elevated. And I'm saying, I said it on the last podcast and I'll say it to you. We're going to all look back on this and be like, yeah, maybe Gato should have listened to SP3 and should have just ended it after 2 months. Because if you end it after 2 months, you never know what you could have got. You could have been like, oh, he could have done so much more. Now you can't say that. You can't say that when it's he could have done so much more, but he didn't do so much more. If it ends after 2 months, you can say that. Mm. If it ends after 8, it's like, what else could he have done?
I think I'm going to compare this to Jay White's world title reign, because obviously Sanada and Jay, two of my favorites, both despite, I think with Sanada, while he's not elevated the title, he's elevated the wrestlers he's been, and I think that's the problem. His opponents, he has not had the strongest opponents to do it. Like in the G1, he wasn't having these standout matches because Sanada's purpose was not to elevate the title or to elevate his championship, but to elevate the young ones he was with. So they've almost like, it's Gato in it. Do I blame Gato? I'm going to blame Gato. Gato has put Sanada in a role of like, because he's on the upper side of the age, right? And I think they have been utilizing him to create the new future of Japan. And while his matches have been good with, like, the babies, the New Japan babies, his thing has not been to shine. Because I think the reception Sanada gets is always great. And his in-ring ability and his personality has not deteriorated. In fact, I actually prefer this Sanada to the LIJ Sanada.
I'll be honest with you, Sanada. I don't see a difference. Like it was a cosmetic change in the G1. I mean, in the New Japan Cup, and it was great, that evolution that happened over a month. But personality wise, since he's become world champion, I haven't seen a difference. He just seems a little bit more confident. That's about it. But like, he had an opportunity with the whole evil thing. Like, evil is going to be a downgrade.
That was on Gato, though.
I understand. Evil is a downgrade as a title contender. But there's a story there. You have a longtime tag team partner, a longtime friend that betrayed you to become the world champion. You then become the world champion. You didn't have to do the things that he did. You did it the right way. You stepped away from the group that you were originally in with, and then you're having issues with kind of your identity as the top guy, as the top champion in New Japan, and the same friend is the first person that beats you in the premier tournament. He then embarrasses you and takes your title. He then takes one of your stable mates and literally Sonata. At none of these times. Now, we are taking Gato's booking out of this. None of this happening to him. Did he show any anger? Did he show any more viciousness? Did he show any more intensity? Did he show any more? Like, there was nothing.
No, don't break my heart.
I know I'm breaking your heart. Because you hate hearing the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. I had the same talk with Jay News when we reviewed Destruction. He's a big Sonata fan too. Sonata.
I know. Me and Jay News are like the biggest Sonata supporters in the world.
Y'all are the Sonata fan club. Y'all are president and vice president. Y'all just trade off titles every other meeting. But I just gotta say to you, yes, this was not the most ideal feud for him as champion, but there was a story there that he could have made more of this than he did, and he did it. And I can't say he did that for any other feud. He has not shown this big difference of personality. Now, if we're criticizing Gato, yes, let's look at Sonata and the row of people he has faced. He faced a junior heavyweight in Hiromu Takahashi.
To be fair, I quite like that one.
I know, I love that match. That match was great. Fantastic.
That in that match, I did see a little bit of a change in Sonata. That out of all of them, I think.
That's where he showed his confidence, his newfound confidence the most. Yeah.
That we saw the story of LIJ coming to it.
Yeah.
He
faced a returning young lion in his debut matchup. Great match, but I'm giving you standard of who he's versed. He's versed a junior, a returning young lion. He reversed Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
That was awful. I hate that match. That was. I want to erase that from my brain.
Jungle Boy Jack Perry in the G1
with like a really shit. He beat him with the shittest finisher as well. He was like, "It's not even worth my new finisher anymore."
In the G1. They stupidly, and I've been complaining about this since they named the blocks. They're not even better than that block. It should have been Okada. Imagine if you swap Okada and Sonata goes undefeated in a block with Tai Chi, with Osprey, with Yoshihashi, with El Phantasmo. That's a lot more impressive than all the former Young Lions and
SCP's gonna lose his voice at this rate.
I'm losing it thinking about, like, they tried to make a big deal. Oh, he went undefeated in his block. Yeah, he was getting in there with people in college. They're in college.
I think that's the thing. Even if he had a really like reign with title defenses, that G1 should have been his time to shine. And yeah, like we said that if they had moved Okada into that one, because I think we said, didn't we, that Okada had basically faced everyone in that block before, so it wasn't giving us anything new. I think we had a similar grievance about the D block. And I think, I mean, I'm not saying that we should sack Gato and we should take over, but like that we would be much better. And we would have created... we would have created a G1 where more wrestlers were made to look good.
I mean,
Gato, call us up, please.
I mean, what I'm really trying to say is this: yes, Sonata deserves some blame, but Gato sabotaged.
But doesn't Gato? Wait. Did Sonata shit on Gato's back as well?
Maybe he's shedding his bag too. Yeah. We don't know. We need this information, Sonata.
Also,
we can start blaming the right people.
Talking about shitting on bags, because that reminds me. We obviously said Claudio versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah. Kiyomiya? We've just forgotten that he's taken a young lion and that we need something.
Yep.
Is he not?
No.
Gato's forgotten.
Forgotten all about him. He forgot he was in the G1 if you saw his record.
Hikaleo beat him, didn't he?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, he was in a baby block with Kiyomiya. That was the only person worth a note that he beat during the whole G1. Then Kiyomiya
got beat by Hikaleo.
In the playoffs, he could have faced Shingo Takagi. Instead, he gives him Evil. Then he has a feud with Evil for three months. Again. And then by that point, when Tetsuya Naito comes out and challenges him for a Wrestle Kingdom, it's like he is racing one of the more lukewarm IWGP World Heavyweight Champions I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no doubt the match at Wrestle Kingdom is going to be good. There is no doubt about that. But yeah, the lead up has not yet hit it. To be fair, you know what? Naito is great. He's carrying his bags still. He's living his best life.
Yep.
He's not on any warm up matches. We'll speak about Junior Tag League. He's coming out and watching Bushi and Titans matches. He's living his best life. And it's just the fact that, and I brought this up with someone, I can't remember who, that Naito is just so unbothered that he's like, I don't care if I win this title or not. We know he's going to win it. But he's like, I don't really care if I win it. I just want a main event wrestling.
I love him. I love him being asked about a dream match with Bryan Danielson. He's like, no.
Yeah, I don't really care, to be fair.
Naito
is literally, like, the most unbothered person in the world. And I just think that, like, he's just true, like, iconic in every way. He just doesn't care. But when I met him at the meet and greet, he was the most animated. He was so excited and everything. But in the ring, he like has such composure, and I'm like, that is the kind of wrestler you aim to be, like, so unbothered but so loved.
I think that the problem with this main event and the build is that you usually have Naito facing somebody who has these like over the top personalities, or who can bring like the craziness.
Okada
has this big personality, this big aura of better than you, and always just too cocky for himself. That plays off of Naito's nonchalantness.
Naito, when it comes to Tanahashi, likes to sort of take the mic, and they have a very playful.
Exactly, and with Kenny or someone like Kenny Omega, he can go crazy, and it balances out Naito very well. Even someone like Jericho, he was able to tap into Painmaker and have a
Jay White, even with, like their matches. Naito.
Yeah,
you can see that Sonata infuriates him.
Sonata is basically he's too even keeled. Like, that's so.
They both don't care. They both don't give a shit.
They both don't give a shit. So it's like, if they don't give a shit, why should we?
You know what would work? And I'm thinking this, because Naito versus Taichi. I want to.
Not in a Wrestle Kingdom main event.
No, not Wrestle Kingdom. No, I want Naito to win the title. Because I think when Naito wins, the first person challenges Shane Hayes. And that's going to be funny on itself. That's just going to be truly iconic. Because he's mentioned that.
All I want to say is that I'm really struggling with the fact that Sonata is the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion going into.
We love you, Sonata. It's just.
I'm just saying me. This is just me. I'm sorry. I said this from the very beginning of the title.
Sonata Hayes.
The title win was great. The title win. But he should have never been the champion going into a Wrestle Kingdom. This is why it feels flat.
But it's because he won at an awkward time as well. I said this with Jay's, but then Jay's they did cut short. With Sonata's, there wasn't really a big time for him to lose that. And the right person to lose it against within that time. And obviously, Yoda after Tsuji. G1...
Yoda Tsuji versus Naito would be a lot better build.
But that's too early. You can't have LIJ in rival fighting yet. That will come. I think Tsuji will be the one to dethrone Naito when Naito is ready to hang up his boots. But they're not going to have like, it's similar to, you know, how they've said that Uemura's coming in and that he wants a shot at the title, blah, blah, blah. They're not going to have that interfaction big title match so early. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, then you're basically, you could have built to it. That's, you have 8 months to build to it.
No, because then basically you're, because the only outcome that could really happen is, one, you make Tsuji look shit if he loses, because it's like, oh, he keeps losing all these big matches. Or two, and the only way that Tsuji could win was if Naito was willing to hang up his boots, and then Tsuji could take over as leader.
No, no, no. I'm talking about Tsuji comes in, you do the same exact re-debut they did, and he wins at Dominion. He already said when he joined LIJ that he wanted to have singles matches with everybody in LIJ. They forgot about that. They totally have forgot about that.
Uemura said the same thing when he
came. That's now become Uemura. Yeah, that's what I said. Now it's become Uemura's thing, because Tsuji said that too. Am I the only one that remember that? Because he said that too. He said that he wanted to have singles match. So he could have won the title.
Maybe they're changing that.
He could have won the title, done the G1 feud. He could have done the feud with Evil, and I guarantee you would have showed more fire than Sonata did. And then he has the matchup with Naito. He has been champion for 8 months. He drops the title to Naito at
the at have Tsuji have 8 months for his first title reign. I couldn't see that.
Then let Sonata have 8 months for his first title reign.
Sonata has been in New Japan for a very long time. Anyway, I think they didn't do that.
It's been a long 8 months.
No, because Tsuji and Shingo are going to win World Tag League.
I don't know. Now that Shingo's never open weight champion, I don't see that happening.
Gato, for goodness
I don't
sake.
See that. I don't see that happening.
Always ruins it.
Before we get into World Tag League, we have the Super Junior Tag League going on. Week one is started on October 21st. We have had 6 shows since then. And so now it's now up to you. Guide us on everything that has gone down in the first week of the Super Junior Tag League.
I'm not going to say they're Match of the Year candidates. However, it has been some very consistently good matches with some very consistently good storytelling, bar the House of Torture matches. I mean, like I said, I feel like in anything, you're just going to like move it. Yeah, there have been some phenomenal main events, some really good like builds on things. I particularly want to shout out to Wato and Desperado. So basically, we all know,
my team, yeah. my pick to win.
So when I met Despy, I told him, I was like, I want you and Wato to win. He didn't seem too sure about it. But so basically, we all know there's this unrequited love going on. And this has been shown not only in like the opening, so when Wato is coming out with these new shirts that have got him and Despy on it, but in the matches. So in the opening matches, there are so many shows I can probably never remember who they faced. Let me figure out. I've got 1972 up. Rob Eagles, da, da, da. So they faced on the first night, they faced the DKC and Taguchi. And even within the match itself, you could tell they weren't working together. Desperado was reluctant to tag in. I think at one point he slapped Master Wato and just carried on fighting. He was like, it was like obviously a miss slap, but rather than go, oh, I'm sorry, he was like, mm. And then after the matches, he'd just go off. Like, I think they won that one and they just left. And I think their first main event they won as well, he just left.
Yeah.
Just left Wato in the ring. And that has worked.
I know they main evented the last show against Jess Setter, and I know they main evented another one against TMDK.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah, they
Did they face the Bullet Club War Dogs yet?
Yeah. I believe they beat him. They did beat him. A really good match. Like, Master Wato and Destiny put in constantly good matches. And like, because I feel like I can't go through every match because there's quite a lot. But yeah, aside from Kanemaru and Sho, they have all been putting on good matches. Like, we've seen Fujita shine. Like, they've picked up wins. Even the DKC and Taguchi, we saw some flamingo underwear. So typical Taguchi, you know?
Of course.
Yo and I always forget his name because I always like say it wrong. Musashi from Michinoku Pro.
Oh, yeah.
their match against Doki and Taka were really good because even before the match, Musashi was like, he has wrestled Doki, he's wrestled Taka, they're very close. So that has, like, that match was really good. And Musashi and Yo, their dynamic has been, so obviously they're a new team. And they've been showing that, like, there are missteps. And then Yo said, oh, maybe we should drop the formalities. And you could see them slowly becoming together as a team. Fujita has been shining with Robbie Eagles. Again,
that's what I've been hearing a lot from people.
Not picking up all the wins, but, like, you can see how much he has grown on, like, the very short time he's been on Excursion. Like, I know a lot of people are like, why is he already back, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's good because TMDK need representation in the junior division. And that was perfect. Who else? I mean, Taka and Doki picked up a win. So, you know what? We're fighting Doki. Has been great. Kevin Knight. I feel like we always say this. Kevin Knight is incredible. He is so dynamic in the ring. And his match against the War Dogs, so him and Kushida, was really good. And what's surprising me, and I guess this is on Kushida's side, is out of the two of them, Kevin Knight is the star.
Yeah.
Kushida is the one seeming like the weak link. And I like that because that is building up Kevin Knight for the future. Yeah. And like, because we know Kushida can wrestle. Kushida's been in it for years. He doesn't need to showcase anything. But Kevin Knight has needed to. And yeah, and also, like, every team has done well. The War Dogs, some really good matches. They've been playing heel very well, but not House of Torture heel. They've been cheating a bit, but not to an extent I hate it. Like, even I just watched, I think it was today's, and it was the Empire versus Ibushi and Titan. I mean, I might be completely wrong, but they got the win because Ibushi hit the mist. It's cheating, but it's not cheating to the extent that it takes over the match. Whereas, spoiler alert, SP3, every match that the House of Torture in, we unfortunately see a cameo from Evil, Yujiro, and Dick Togo.
Well, I kind of expected that because it is the House of Torture, so kind of like goes along with it.
Their best match so far is when Yo surprisingly kissed Sho in the middle of the match with a mouthful of whiskey.
Was this by accident or on purpose?
No, on purpose, on purpose.
Oh,
so, nice. Considering that's the highlight, you can see how shit the House of Torture matches have been.
All right, so for someone like me who hasn't watched the week one, give us your top three must-watch matches.
Oh, okay, right. And this is me having to go through. Well, I'm on New Japan 1972 now. I'm like, let me go through and make sure I don't miss anything. They don't have today's results.
I don't think so. Or do
so,
they?
Yeah. Master Wato and El Desperado versus Fujita and Robbie Eagles. Amazing match. Like, the dynamic between the four men just works really well. I feel like I'm going to just be like, oh, Despy and Wato. Because Despy and Wato have consistently put on.
This is why they were my pick.
Why they were my picks as well. Yeah, Wato and Desi versus Titan and Bushi. Really good match. That one was awful because it's House of Torture. So bad. I don't understand why they're even there.
How was Catch 2-2 versus Bullet Club War Dogs?
Catch 2-2, like, I don't think they're gonna win, and that makes me really sad. But what I love, so the injuries they've really been doing, so Akira has damaged his shoulder. TJP's back is taped up. And they're using that in the story. You know, there's the tendency in some New Japan matches, there's injuries that they just seem to go out the window. But they've really been playing into it. I'm trying to think. TJP and... I'm just going to say it. And then Catch 2-2 versus, like, every match. Just watch every match with Despy and Wato. Because honestly, they've all been phenomenal.
Follow Despy and Wato. You're pretty much up to date on the Junior Tag League. You're helping me out. That's what I'm going to do.
All just put on, like, avoid the House of Torture ones. There's no real need to watch them. But everyone else has really showcased why the junior division shouldn't be slept on. Because there's so much diversity. There's so much action. And like, do you remember in the day when it was the Best of Super Junior and it was Ricochet and Osprey? And so it was the flippy dippy stuff. Like, yeah. And then that's what everyone assumed that the New Japan Junior Division was about. But there is so much variety in the junior division now. You've got the new ones coming up. You've got the veterans who've been in, like Taguchi, for all his fun and games of it, is still a phenomenal wrestler. And he's still putting out bangers and showing his charisma. TJP, a veteran, Robbie Eagle. But then you've got the likes of what, like Wato and Fujita, who are really shining in these tournaments. And it makes me sad because I know that a lot of people will see the Super Junior Tag League as a miss.
Yeah.
Tournament, like it's not Best of Super Junior, it's not World Tag League, it's not G1 New Japan Cup, but for me it's great. Like, they're just so talented and they always go out and put on amazing shows, apart from House of Torture.
I love how you said that at least 6 times yeah. during your coverage of the Super Junior Tag League.
I feel like I need to say this because people are gonna, what if someone watches like one day and then they listen to this podcast, like, right, I'm going to watch Super Junior Tag League. And they watch the House of Torture match and they go, what's Sonal talking about?
And I know Sonal is someone that, like, 5 years ago, if she got told Sho and Yoshinobu Kanemaru were tag team partners, she would be very excited to watch them wrestle.
That would have been like, oh, my Christmases came at once. You know, if you told me that Kanemaru and Sho were teaming up and Sho had a title, I'd have been like, I'm happy now. But now happiness, I'm not.
Happiness is here, but
it doesn't feel like happiness. It's very bittersweet.
Not quite. But we have something else to cover because not just the Super Junior Tag League is going on right now, but New Japan made their return to the United States of America for Fighting Spirit Unleashed 2023 in Las Vegas, Nevada. 800 packed into the Samtown Live. I do like that New Japan makes it like its own look. It looks much different when Impact is there. Usually they run a lot of shows in that Las Vegas location. We did have a couple of kickoff matches, one between the New Japan Academy members, Matt Vatagriff and Buck Skinner. This one going 5 minutes, 37 seconds, and Matt Vandegrift getting the win with a 450 splash. Meanwhile, we had another kickoff matchup, a six-man tag. You had the Team Filthy, Danny Lamb, Limelight, Royce Isaacs, and Jarrell Nelson, the West Coast Wrecking Crew, facing Titus Alexander, Jacob Austin Young, and Balin Aki. They got, of course, Team Filthy picking up the win with a springboard cutter. West Coast Wrecking Crew looking good in the victory here to set up for something later on in the night. I know you didn't watch all of this show.
I did watch the next match.
But we're gonna get into the main card here, and we're gonna start off with the opener for the main card, which was a strong open weight championship number one contenders four-way matchup. Former champion Fred Rosser. You had Alex Coghlan, former strong tag team champion. You had Jeff Cobb in there and Satoshi Kojima. This one was a lot of fun. I thought this was a good way to kick off the show. Everyone was kind of highlighted in their own way. I love the sequence with Jeff Cobb and Alex Coghlan showing off their power with dual vertical suplexes at the same time while they're kicking each other. Cobb was able to hold his vertical suplex much longer. You had Rosser in there, very physical, hard-hitting style. And then Satoshi Kojima coming in, showing his veteran wisdom. In the end, getting the win with the Lariato to become the
Bread
new
Club.
The new number one contender for the strong openweight championship. What did you think about this four-way matchup and Kojima getting the next shot at the strong openweight championship?
It was a nice, really nice way to start the show. Like, there's four very big names, four very different wrestlers, and like you said, they all got their chance to shine. I love that it is 2023. Koji has been wrestling for decades and he is still going strong. He shows Tanahashi that you can still have both your knees and wrestle well. So I don't know what is going on with Hiroshi Tanahashi's knees right now when Kojima is still pulling out bangers.
He's like, you shouldn't have been doing all those high five flows in your 20s.
Should have been sticking to the lariat. Should have stuck to the lariat and should have eaten more bread.
And koji cutters.
Yeah, koji cutters, lariats, and more bread.
More bread.
That's what Tanahashi should have done. And that's how he could stay as ripe as Kojima is now.
Always more bread. There is always more bread to be eaten for Kojima. But yeah, really enjoyed this one. I thought this was a good match to kick off the show. Next up, we had some women's tag team action. Yeah, Johnny Robbie and Juvia versus Zeus and Stephanie Vaquer. Stephanie Vaquer, we've seen her before on New Japan Resurgence. She had a great match with Mercedes Moné earlier this year. She would pick up the victory with her usual tag team partner in CMLL, getting the win with a package backbreaker on Johnny Robbie. Unique finisher for Stephanie Vaquer. And the reason why she got picked up the victory, she is not only a tag team champion in CMLL, she is their women's champion. And now she wants gold in New Japan Pro Wrestling because she's made the challenge out to Mayu Iwatani for the IWGP Women's title coming up at NJPW Lone Star Shootout. So now I got to ask you the question, because you were very vocal about your apprehension about Mercedes Moné becoming IWGP Women's Champion. But I hate to say this because you have been like a sister to me doing this podcast, but you are a victim of not keeping the same energy when it came to Mayu Iwatani and the lack of title defenses, because this woman has held this title hostage for about 7 months and is now finally about to make her way to the United States of America to defend it against Stephanie Vaquer.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. This might be just because I don't really follow stardom. Do you know what I mean? I hate to say that, but like, obviously, because Mercedes Moné was always in the forefront, it's a bit like the whole Kenny Omega effect, isn't it? Kenny Omega is always in my face, which is why I criticize him about his US title reign. Similarly with Moxley. However, because I don't really watch stardom, I just assume that she defended it a few times.
She defended against Yutami Hayashita, I believe, and I think what did she begin against? Shuri? I'm not too sure, but I believe she's defended it twice.
If it's not on the news, I literally assumed, I was like, oh, she's probably in stardom, just like defending it. And at one point, I think I forgot that title existed. I'm not gonna lie. People don't come at me, okay? It's very busy life. I've had to get rid of Tokyo Joshi and DDT. I don't have enough.
You see her, people. You see our people, the only woman on our podcast that's not a supporter of women's wrestling.
I'm a huge supporter of women's wrestling. I'm a huge supporter of I need more hours in the day.
Okay, so I was wrong. I apologize. I was wrong, ladies.
Yeah, I'm
and
not
gentlemen.
A hypocrite. I'm just very behind on everything that's going on.
No, I'm not wrong about that. I was wrong. She has only defended it once against Yutami Hayashita. That's it.
So she's basically Kenny Omega.
She's basically Kenny Omega. Yep. Yep. But you went so hard on Kenny. You went so hard on Mercedes. Mercedes defended it, and you had to eat crow on that, but you haven't kept the same energy for Mayu Iwatani.
I mean, I honestly will put my hands up and say, yeah. I will follow what is happening with the women's title more. I will do that. I'm sorry, Mercedes. There you go. Now the Mercedes fans can't come at me. I'm very sorry. I'm also sorry to the Kenny fans and the John Moxley fans and anyone I've ever criticized holding the... Oh, and FTR as well for their tag reign. I'm going to go through an entire list now of people I've criticized. So I tick them off. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Hey, man, we just got a perfect title for today's podcast. So now I'll apologize to Mercedes Moné.
the SEO that was going to be searching my name, like, oh, I'm famous now. Mercedes Moné is going to be like, who is this person who is apologizing to me?
Apologize for your crimes against her. But yes, Mayu Iwatani will defend against Stephanie Vaquer, Lone Star Shootout, coming up just a few weeks from now. But First, before that, you had the rest of Fighting Spirit Unleashed. You had one-on-one action, Tom Lawler going one-on-one with Gabe Kidd. This one going 12 minutes, 30 seconds. Gabe Kidd turning up the heel axe in this one, distracting the referee briefly, using his championship belt against Tom Lawler, and then hitting a package power driver for the 1-2-3. What did you think about this one? What did you think about Gabe Kidd picking up the victory over Tom Lawler and seemingly getting some momentum before he gets a shot at the United Kingdom Championship?
I love Gabe Kidd. I mean, I've said it like 100,000,000,000 times. He has really shined, and like this match proved it. Like, it's weird because he's not as bad as Hassel Torture, but you know, he doesn't mind breaking the rules, but for some reason it works with Gabe. And like, I just think that Gabe has consistently been putting good matches with everyone in his own way, in his own crazy little mad world. And this match was like no different. Like, it's a big win for him.
Yeah.
As well. So like, it was a really nice singles match. Great. And yeah, like we said, ahead of his big match with Ospreay, great momentum.
When do you think he gets that match with Ospreay?
Did they say Lone Star?
Did they?
Have I just heard...
I'll double check that when we get to the Power Struggle preview here. But continuing on with this card here, you had next 8-man tag, Atlantis's 40th anniversary match in the U.S. 8-man tag as Atlantis teamed up with Atlantis Jr. as well as Mystico and Hiroshi Tanahashi to verse Adrian Quest, Tiger Mask, Soberano Jr., and Rocky Romero. Rocky Romero being the heelish douchebag he was.
I'm going to backtrack. It's actually at a Rev Pro Uprising in December, Gabe versus Ospreay. Sorry, I just...
Right. I was like, they did get announced.
I knew it, but I didn't know when it was, because I was like, I seen the graphic, but I couldn't remember. Yeah, it's at a Rev Pro show.
There you go. So, man, yeah, Ospreay going to have another 5-star match in December. But Team Atlantis picking up the win to victory as he hit a powerbomb on Adrian Quest. 10 minutes, 27 seconds for that one. Next up was the NJPW Strong Women's Championship up for grabs as Julia, and the reason why I brought up Mayu Iwatani and the lack of same energy by Sanaa for Mayu Iwatani and her one defense, because Julia, who won this title in July? Do you know what defense this was for her?
She had a lot, didn't she?
Her fifth defense!
She has some amazing defenses.
She has more defenses of the NJPW Strong Women's Championship than Mayu Iwatani, Mercedes Moné, and Kyrie have had a WGP Women's Champion already.
And can I say, like, in this match, I also had a bit of a bias because I've seen Hyann, like, loads of times, and, like, I think she's awesome.
I think Hyann is awesome as well.
So shout out to her. She's always great whenever I see her live, and she deserves more love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hyann, you know, definitely making a name for herself on the independent scene, but this was a big platform, a big stage for her. And I think that she went really toe-to-toe with one of the best women's wrestlers in the world in Julia. This was a very hard-hitting matchup, very physical, a lot of stiff exchanges throughout here, especially like the finishing sequence where you got a strike exchange ending with Julia hitting a big power driver knee for a near fall. She then picked up Hyann, hits the Northern Lights bomb for the 1-2-3. This match got plenty of time, 12 minutes, 30 seconds. I thought this was a really 12 minutes, 3 seconds, excuse me. I thought this was a really good matchup. And Julia, man, it's like, why didn't you put the IWGP Women's Championship on her?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get involved in that conversation because I'm sorry, Mercedes Moné. But yeah, no, like Julia's been literally killing it with that title. And it's kind of the opposite of, do you remember when like the whole strong division started? And like, remember for all the men's titles, we were like, it's a bit shit, like no one's actually doing anything. But like, compared to IWGP, whereas Julia's like, fuck you, you know, strong women's title. This is where you want to be. This is who you want to challenge for, not the IWGP women's title.
It's like ever since like Independence Day, we've seen like a big like renewal as far as like the strong titles, mm-hmm. with Julia as the women's champion and Eddie Kingston as the strong open weight champion.
Very nice man, Eddie Kingston. Very good hugs. He's like a big softie.
I met him in Chicago. I told him I was from New York. He was like, as long as I get love in New York, that's all that matters, man. That's all that matters.
he got so much love at Royal Quest. It was immense. I was like, because I didn't know how much people knew. But when he came out, I was like, yeah, you have a home with us. You're always welcome back.
Second home in the UK. Next up, though, before we get to Eddie Kingston versus Hanare on this card, we had Hikaleo and El Phantasmo defending the strong tag team titles against Alex Zane and Lance Archer. Yes, Monster Sauce. And I don't know about you, Sonal. I very much enjoyed this matchup. This matchup was a lot of fun. I thought these two teams, you have two teams that are just similar to each other.
Because you have the two giants and the two who would I always doubt whether Alex Zane was a junior to start with, but
yeah, they would be
Shingo Takagi like conversation.
You have two guys that were once known as juniors that are obviously heavyweights, like this is, and they're both athletic as hell, so it was a very fun matchup.
That moment where you had ELP on the ropes and Lance Archer on the ropes.
Both walking the ropes at the same time.
You've got one like junior heavyweight-esque person, and then you've got a big monster, and both of them are mirroring each other on the ropes. Because, I mean, Yo and Musashi have been doing it in the Junior Tag League, where they've been, which is weird because you've never really seen Yo doing much like rope work. But seeing Lance Archer in ELP, I was like, yeah. This is nice. This is something I didn't think I needed to see in my life, but now I've seen it. I like it a lot. Yeah. It was a really fun match. Like, I don't know. I didn't have any expectations, but like, even after I saw like the press conference and them coming out dressed up, yeah. and stuff, I think, and I had my doubts about Hikaleo and ELP because I knew, but I think that they're going to work really well. Because I think that it's a bit like what happened with Taguchi and Wato, is I think ELP is really going to help Hikaleo's personality shine. And that is just going to help him in the long run.
Yeah. I think that's what New Japan is going for. And it's working so far. This is most I've been entertained by Hikaleo. But yes.
Also, I like seeing Lance Archer. I always like seeing Lance Archer in a New Japan ring. I miss... Oh, God. Lance Archer was always great. Bring him back. Bring it back for World Tag League.
This match went 9 minutes, 25 seconds. Hikaleo and ELP getting the win with the Super Thunder Kiss 87. And then we have the Strong Openweight Championship up for grabs. Eddie Kingston defending against Hanare. This one was physical. This one is basically your prototypical never openweight matchup.
That's what it's meant to be.
5 minutes in, both guys' chests were red from chops. You get the hard strikes. You get some submission work from Hanare trying to put Eddie Kingston away in different ways. You have the callback to their G1 matchup, mm-hmm. with Eddie hitting the hurricane and collapsing on top of Hanare, but Hanare was able to kick out. Finally, he hit what was probably like the fourth or fifth Ergen to get the win. Finally, 12 minutes, 24 seconds. I thought this was a really strong matchup here. The Strong Openweight Championship has kind of been renewed.
Between the two of them, and we said this, even with like ELP and Hikaleo, that strong division that was once, I mean, I think we've spoken about it, a joke. Yeah. Like, it was a joke of a division. Nobody knew what was happening. We all forgot about it. Has now come to the forefront with the people who are holding it. Like, even obviously with the tag titles, when Bishamon had it, and then Aussie Open have had it, and then even the War Dogs, we are now seeing some consistency. So you know what, Gato, will give you props on that.
But it comes down to Gato needs to learn from this, because I just remember we just went over all the people that Sonata has faced in his IWGP World Heavyweight Championship run. So I don't know if Gato needs to get like a meeting room with Tony Khan, because Tony Khan has helped out this reign so much. But look at the list of people Eddie Kingston has beaten since July. since winning strong open weight championship. He beat Claudio Castagnoli in New York in a double championship matchup.
Also, what I find funny is we said, but why could Kenny not defend the US title more than just once against Jeff Cobb?
This is the thing. I think that what I've heard is that Rocky does a lot of the strong booking. So I think that he's been
that makes sense.
Rocky is able to extend more to Tony to be like, yeah, you can do this, you can do that. Where I don't think Gato was given that to Tony for him
trust
to do
in
that.
Rocky.
With
trust
Kenny.
In Rocky Romero.
TIS.
Trust in the King of Superstars.
Trust in Rocky.
Trust in Rocky.
Eddie then defended against Rocky Romero. And then he's beaten Shibata at Wrestle Dream. And then he beat Minoru Suzuki. And then here, Hanare. Look at that list of challenges compared to Sonata's reign.
For fuck's sake, Gato. But can I just say, Hanare, I've watched Hanare for years. I've supported Hanare for years. And I remember I went through the entire thing of like, Hanare suffered because Hanare didn't do an excursion. And he went straight home to Hentai. Okay, it's taken a few years. But Hanare is really shining. He's no longer, I guess, when he joined the Empire, I was a bit like, is he just going to be the fall guy like he was in Hentai? And he's just not. But he has really stepped up to the plate. And I guess the fact that, like, I guess in the Empire, he's allowed to show a more rough and rugged side. Because obviously, we've said this, the Empire, while loved, are still, I guess, in that LIJ tweener zone. And Hanare has constantly been showing, whether it's his promos or his work or his in-ring work and that passion, he has taken everything that I don't think worked when he was in Hentai. I would just say he's too passionate. He's too much like a young lion. He's taken that and he's honed it into the Empire mold and really created someone that I think we could have seen a few years ago and could be, like, if he'd have done this when he came out of his black trunk, could be, like, a lot higher in the card.
Yeah, I think he's tapped into something new, and maybe it was being in United Empire that helped him tap into that something new. But we got to go on to the final two matches here, as we had the semi-main event was a preview of Wrestle Kingdom's 18's main event, as the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Sonata teamed up with Just Five Guys member Yuya Uemura to face
my boy's back.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion Hiromu Takahashi and the number one contender Tetsuya Naito. This match went to a 20-minute time limit draw.
They did that on the Best of Super Junior Tour as well, which makes sense because the four of them, none of them can afford to lose, especially, as we're going to bring up, Hiromu Takahashi holds the DDT Iron Weight Championship.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that when we were talking about everything going on outside of New Japan.
Hiromu's having the most stressful time of his life at the moment. His blood pressure is higher than the Tokyo Dome at this point.
So how many people have tried to attack him so far?
Well, I mean, obviously, an iPhone. He got pinned by an iPhone.
He got pinned by an iPhone?
He got pinned by an iPhone. Have you not seen it? By yellow.
I told you.
I'm going to find the clip and I'm going to send it to you. Obviously, in his own matches, Tsuji attempted to pin him. Ishimori has attempted to pin him. There have been so many people trying to pin him. People tried to pin him in backstage comments. He's getting the full iron heavyweight. Because, I mean, even though I don't watch DDT now, I have seen that iron heavyweight championship go through so much. It's literally the best title in professional wrestling. It is just the weirdest thing ever.
The weirdest thing ever. This seems appropriate for DDT.
Yeah, exactly. And it's appropriate for Hiromu, actually.
That too. This is a man that set the record for...
Right. So basically, this is what happened.
Unzipping and dipping his pants.
This is what happened. So in the early morning of the 29th, so this is from the DDT Wrestling English one, a yellow iPhone 14 was on top of a sleeping Hiromu Takahashi and became the 1,585th Ironman champion.
Of course,
that's life, isn't it?
That seems appropriate. That seems appropriate with their life.
That's how we lost the title.
Yeah. Seems right. But yes, Hiromu is going to be very, very busy. We're going to talk about his big match coming up at Power Struggle. But the final match for Fighting Spirit Unleashed was for the NEVER Openweight Championship. You had Tama Tonga making his first defense of his third reign against Shingo Takagi. This was hard-hitting, physical, a very long matchup going 27 minutes, a grueling battle between the two men, and it came down to a late strike exchange between the two guys. Tama Tonga was able to survive the pumping bomber, but he didn't have enough to survive the Last of the Dragon as Shingo Takagi once again becomes the NEVER Openweight Champion. Shingo Takagi reclaiming the title in a brutal encounter. And then post-match, after his celebratory speech, he was challenged for the championship by Trent Barretta. Barretta making his return to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he's going to get an opportunity at the NEVER Openweight Championship against Shingo Takagi at Lone Star Shootout. What did you think about Shingo versus Tama Tonga? I thought it was a very, very good main event.
I'm actually gutted, though, about Tama losing the title. The NEVER title has always been one of those belts that I've had high hopes for. And I'm like, maybe we should put this under the strong one again so Rocky can deal with it. Because, especially recently, it's just not had the consistency. And I really hoped, as much as I love that Shingo's holding it, because Shingo on that belt is magic. I think Tama could have done something really good. He could have changed the complexion to a more athletic belt. Because we know that Tama is not the hardest hitter. He is known for his speed and athleticism. And I really hoped that he could get that time to shine, whether it's because World Tag League's coming up, I don't know. But again, now that Shingo is holding it, and again, a very good match, because I feel like Shingo can do no wrong in matches. Give me some consistency. Have Shingo hold that belt. Have him defend it against Taichi. Him and Taichi always have good matches. Taichi's good. Against Ishii, against Tsuji.
Exactly. That's what I want.
I want some juniors in there. Give us some juniors. Alex Zane. Have him again. Do you know what I mean? Like, now Shingo is
holding the belt. Have him go against his child, Del Fantasmo, you know?
Exactly, you know, with the t-shirt. No, because they had a really good match. So yeah, that would be something. And I think ELP is the kind of guy who really does embody open weight, because he could drop a few pounds, he would go back into junior. He's in the heavyweight now. He's similar to like guys like Ospreay and stuff. Exactly. Narita
is like, another good one. Yeah.
Yeah, like I will keep going on about Gato's bad booking of having a heavyweight. Have him try and be a star of the open weight. He's got Suzuki as a mentor. Suzuki, the king of NEVER.
Yeah.
There's possibilities. Don't fuck this up, Gato.
It's going to be interesting when we get to Dallas, Texas now, with Shingo Takagi versus Trent Barretta for the NEVER Openweight Championship. It's one of multiple title matches for this Lone Star Shootout card, which also is going to feature Zack Sabre Jr. versus Speedball Mike Bailey for the NJPW World Television Championship. Mayu Iwatani versus Stephanie Vaquez for the IWGP
second defense.
Women's championship, only her second defense.
So I'm going in on you now. You know, I said it to Mercedes. Why is this only your second defense? How could you? You know, we need a fighting champion. Follow Julia. There you go. You happy, SP3?
That's better. Much better. Much better. Eddie Kingston versus Satoshi Kojima for the NJPW Strong Openweight Championship.
I'm going to ask this SP3, and because I don't want to keep going. How would you feel if Red Club took over?
Bread Club took over. Nah, I'm good. I like bread, but come on, Eddie Kingston. Nah, Eddie Kingston
like
got
Eddie
a rep.
Kingston,
rep for New York. Rep for New York. You also got EOP and Hikaleo defending against Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs, West Coast
See,
Wrecking Crew.
New people. We are getting Rocky Man. Good on you.
West Coast Wrecking Crew attacked the ELP and Hikaleo after their defense of the Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships, and they get the match in Dallas, Texas. Mystico versus TJP should be a very fun junior heavyweight battle.
A lot of history with that.
And we got a video package for none other than Joey Janela making his NJPW debut.
I love Joey Janela.
One-on-one with Toru Yano.
Is this not going to be match of the year contender? Is this not what dreams are? This has got wrestling traditionalists crying. They are like, this is going to be the shittest match. This has got people like me, who likes a bit of humor, going, this is going to be beautiful.
She's like, do you believe in magic? All right, but that is the review of Fighting Spirit Unleashed. We'll give you our predictions for Lone Star Shootout on the next edition of Ace Techers. We got to give our rapid fire prediction for Power Struggle. But before that, Sanal, please let the people know where they can follow you on social media, your YouTube channel, and everything else you got going on.
All right, so as always, you can find me on Sanal's Life on YouTube. I'm in the midst, like, I'm still obviously recovering from COVID. It's a long COVID process, so I might not be as consistent. But with Power Struggle coming up, I will be there. You can always find me on the, I was going to say the Twitter machine, the X machine.
I still can't call it the Twitter machine.
At @wrestling_chat, I will live tweet. I will share really random things that is happening in the world. And that is the first place you can find out if I'm doing new videos, if you don't want to subscribe to me. But I don't know why you wouldn't want to subscribe to me, because, you know, you get memeable content. You get to see this podcast in real life.
In real, in vibrant form. Here we are. Yes, you can follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHeelSP3. You can follow the YouTube channel True Heel Heat Wrestling. I've been slacking and not very consistent on that channel because I was away in Chicago. We missed our first flagship podcast for the first time in, what, I think 2-3 years. But we'll be back next weekend.
Me and SP3 suffering from the adult life.
Adult life. Becoming best man out of nowhere. It happened. But yes, we're going to be back with the flagship this week. We also got previews for Power Struggle up on the channel, as well as Crown Jewel this week. Live previews and reviews for all those show and the flagship podcast will be back as well. And check out bodyslam.net YouTube channel, as I am their new media manager. Yeah. Going to be relaunching that channel.
We didn't have enough to do.
Hey, I don't do shows. I'm organizing. At least that's one thing. I'm not going to do more shows on there. I'm just going to organize shows. But yes, check out that channel as well, where I'll be the new media manager, and you'll see a plenty of great content over there as well. But let's rapid fire this, because Sanal has to run. Rapid fire for Power Struggle. They're going to have a Frontier Zone random matchup with Strong Machine J in there.
But I quite like that they're doing more opening matches with different companies in Japan. And I'm digging this.
So, Sanal, you weren't on the last episode. So I will ask you, who will be in the Super Junior Tag League final at Power Struggle?
So Wato and Despy. And maybe the champs.
I'm going Wato and Despy versus Catch 2-2.
I thought that, but I kind of think the way that the War Dogs are going, I feel like it would make sense. And also because Catch 2-2 said, we don't care if we face you next time as the challengers or the champions after Wrestle Kingdom, we are targeting you. So I almost feel, and obviously because you've not watched the shows or the backstage comments, I feel like for that to happen, I feel like we could have something where they retain at Wrestle Kingdom and then TJP and Akira go mental. Or I actually think that there might be like a four-way at Wrestle Kingdom. So yeah, I'm just thinking, like, at first I would have thought that, but just TJP's comments make me feel that they might not win.
That is fair enough. Now we got the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship up for grabs. Hiromu Takahashi defending against Taiji Ishimori. His 7th defense. Is Hiromu going to retain, or is he going to lose the title here?
I mean, he has to. He's going for that record, and he's going to have a great match with Ishimori. But I feel like putting the title on Ishimori at the moment is just not really going to do it. And also, I think with what I'm seeing and imagining for Wrestle Kingdom with Naito winning, it'd be nice for, like, everyone to have a title.
This is true.
Except I don't think Bushi will, but... it's Bushi, isn't it? Maybe they'll have Bushi and Titan not having a title just so it's not just Bushi without a title.
I mean, they could. They could do that. Or it could be Bushi, Titan, and Tsuji go for the Never Openweight title.
Yes.
The Never Openweight six-man. Speaking of which, Never Openweight six-man tag team championships will be up for grabs. I'm going with Hiromu, by the way. If that's
I'm going with Hiromu.
Shouldn't be a surprise with that one. But and in the Super Junior Tag League final, I'm going with Wato and Despy to win it all.
Going for that because I told Despy. And if it doesn't, because at first, like, if you'd have asked me a few months back, I'd have said, Doki and Kanemaru. But like, Taka's not winning this, is he? Anyone, if it was anyone except Taka, I'd have said, well, maybe Doki. I'd have loved Doki to win. But Doki's not winning with Taka Michinoku.
No, he's not. Never Openweight six-man tag team championships will be up for grabs. We're going to see the champions, Tomohiro Ishii, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Kashika Okada defending against TMDK, Shane Hayes, Mikey Nichols, and the NJPW World Television Champion, Zack Sabre Jr.
I'm going to be controversial here. I'm saying TMDK.
That is fair. That is fair.
I mean, Okada forgets the belts there half the time. Ishii and Tana still aren't on the best of terms. While they've had some great big matches, I feel like they're not the champions that need to... They've not elevated it, really, in
they
the
have.
Way...
that nah,
they
have,
but, like, not in the way that...
We have cared way more about the Never Openweight six-man tag team titles since these guys had it. We can't say we... We can say they could have done more.
Yes,
cannot say they did not elevate them.
They didn't live up to the potential with the big names that they had. Sorry, that was completely wrong wording. Yeah, they've had some phenomenal matches with people from different companies. I'm saying that considering the star power in it, because of, I think, the few of them having it as an afterthought, it's not lived up to what it could be. Like, you know, the heights that we've seen with, like, some really good champions. I think with TMDK, they're tight-knit. They are, obviously, they're like a band. Whereas, obviously, we've still got, like, Tanahashi and Ishii being like that. If they hold it, one, we'll get double champ Zach, which is always great. And two, I think it'd be really nice. I was a bit surprised, though, because I thought that we might have a junior insert. Like, I thought Robbie might go for it and stuff, but obviously with it going up Power Struggle, if you said Robbie is going to be in the match, you're like, well, Robbie's definitely not going to win it. Super Junior Tag League. But yeah, I'd love TMDK. I think the three of them were, and I also just like the idea of Shane Haste as a New Japan champion, because I love Shane Haste.
We know this. We know this for sure. Tag team action is just five guys. I'm going with Okada, Ishii, and Tanahashi for the win.
But I do love Okada, Tanahashi, Ishii. I think they're great in matches. I just think I want someone who is going to come out with the belts. Who's going to remember that their tag team.
He's going to care that they're the six-man tag team.
And not just going to go out there and try and break Bryan Danielson's bones.
Or his orbital bone, yeah.
His orbital
bone. 30-minute time limit tag team matchup. You got Yuri Uemura, Sonata, the Just Five Guys represented by... And you got LIJ represented by Tensuya Naito and Yota Tsuji. So you got... The Rewa Three Musketeer and the guy that was left out of it. And then you got
my boy Uemura.
The Wrestle Kingdom 18 main event here. Who do you got? It's a 30-minute time limit. I don't think we're getting the same time limit draw.
No. I think Uemura or Tsuji is going to pin each other. And I think it's going to start similar to what we saw with Narita and Shota. But, I mean, unlike Narita and Shota, they're not going to come out as best friends because, obviously, opposing factions. But I think this is really going to nice build on Uemura's comeback, and it's going to build on that bitterness that Uemura probably has of being left out of the Three Musketeers. And, obviously, the fact that Tsuji came back and was in title contention. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know which one, but one of them will.
We have a special singles matchup. Next, but I'm going to go in the tag team match. I'm going to go with Tsuji and Naito. I think Tsuji pins Uemura.
Yeah.
You got special singles match. It's a special? I don't know why. Tangaloa.
It came out of Royal Quest because Tangaloa pinned Finley.
Tangaloa versus David Finley for some reason. Why do they keep giving Tangaloa singles matches?
Six star match. Dave Meltzer is going to be like lapping this match up. This is a podcast, guys. You can't see SP3's egg. Like, he's done. He's done with life right now.
David Finlay wins.
Yeah, no, I see that as well. I was, to be fair, I was in person. And when Tangaloa like pinned Finlay, I looked at my mum. I was like, eh.
I when David Finlay got pinned by Tangaloa at Royal Quest, I was like, well, I guess Gato's done with this push.
Gato's like, eh. He's like, Finlay, nobody's feeling Finlay, so I'm not going to do it either. I mean, I might be with him, but like, you know what? We're just going to push Gabe Kidd instead.
Sanal is to blame for David Finlay getting D pushed. I'm convinced.
Well, what? Well, how is it me?
You weren't, you didn't believe in David Finlay like you should have.
You know what? Because SP4 always tries to paint me as a bad person. I have been the biggest David Finlay fan forever. I have 2 David Finlay shirts. Okay, David Finlay was the reason that I was obsessed with New Japan, his feud with Jay White. So stop painting it. I am just saying that I wish they had let Finlay be David Finlay. Okay, right. So we basically have this thing where we try and figure out titles. And so far, we've got Sonal apologizes to Mercedes Moné, and Sonal is to blame for David Finlay's deep push. Okay, everyone's going to be coming at me like it's all my fault and that I've got secret ties to Gato.
Yes, okay. You do. You do. You do have secret ties.
If I had secret ties to Gato, Tai Chi would be world champion right now. Doki would be junior champion right now.
Points were made.
Jay White. Right. I'd have paid Jay White my entire house to stay in New Japan.
This is also true. We do have to finish up with the other 2 matches here. Great Okan versus John Moxley.
Special. I'm actually really excited for this. I'm bloody excited for this.
I think this is going to be physical. It might even be bloody. Who you got?
It's so going to be. It's not realistic, but like, I love Okan. So I'm going to go for Okan because the guy needs some love. He's been losing time after time after time. He's a nice guy. He's like a decent wrestler. He's got a great image. Just give him something. I know he's not. Like, realistically, he's never going to beat Moxley, but in my heart, Okan wins.
I got John Moxley, folks. It's gonna make Great Okan bleed. And for the IWGP, IWGP United Kingdom / United States Heavyweight Championship, it's gonna be Will Ospreay making his 3rd defense of this reign against Shoto Umino. Does Shoto Umino become the guy to dethrone Will Ospreay? Is it time? Is this the time for them to take the title off of Ospreay before his contract expires in February? He's made it no secret. He is open to all options, including WWE in an interview with Sports Illustrated. He's open to going to TNN, TNA, TAS, TAO. He's going to every, he's open to every promotion.
He's open to every letter.
Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer newsletter did report that Will Ospreay is expected to sign with AEW when his contract expires in New Japan. And yes, Sanal was right. Tony Khan takes everyone she loves.
Takes everyone that I love away from me. So I'm gonna skip over Tony Khan basically breaking my heart in like 20 different places. Because can I just say, I'm going to bring this up. Aussie Open have gone, right? And Dogzilla has been injured so many times. This is what happens. This is what happens, okay? You go over to AEW and you get injured. Okay,
hey, injured once. He got injured in New Japan before
That's, you know, don't.
That's besides the point.
That's besides the point, okay? I'm trying to make a point here that people should stop leaving New Japan for AEW, okay? Right, Shota's going to win. I think with everything that's been going on, especially with the promos, like, oh, you've not beat me, you've not beat this. I think that this is where Shota comes out full guns blazing. I assume this is going to have Uno as the ref. I'm going to assume Shota's going to push his dad aside at some point and then get scolded by his mum later in the evening. But I just see that with everything going on, this is the right time. And then Ospreay has a special singles match at Wrestle Kingdom.
Who do you think that's against?
Kenny? But then I guess if Ospreay's going to AEW, he doesn't need to do that.
I am now convinced we are not getting Ospreay and Omega at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
I think that Will Ospreay wins. I think Ospreay beats Shoto Umino.
Really?
And John Moxley comes out to challenge Will Ospreay.
to say
for Wrestle Kingdom, because Will Ospreay this year, man, he's been on a tear. He's beaten Kazuchika Okada. He's beaten El Phantasmo in the G1. He's beaten Yoda Tsuji. He's beaten Zack Sabre Jr. In AEW. He's beaten Chris Jericho. He's beaten Kenny Omega. He's beaten top guy after top guy.
He is the top guy.
Anyone that has been across the ring from him that has worked for AEW. He's beaten every single person in the past 2 years that stood across from him that worked and signed a contract with Tony Khan for All Elite Wrestling, except for one guy.
John Moxley.
And people tend to forget the controversial fashion in which he did beat Will Ospreay all the way back last year in Chicago. He beat him with the paradigm shift after Ospreay and the ref counted 1, 2, 3 with Ospreay getting his shoulder up on the 3 count. So I know at the back of Ospreay's head, this is a matchup that he wants as well.
He wants to finish it before he moves. That makes sense. I think I just kind of thought Shota, just because of the way they've been building the match, like the whole thing of like Ospreay saying Shota's been unable to beat, you could not done anything, this. And I feel like the US title is the perfect, well, the UK title, sorry, is the perfect starting point for Shota.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the right title for him to take.
I think it's the right time. I think that maybe though, I don't know. I think there is a chance he can beat Ospreay. But
I think this one is less certain. This one is, it could go either way. Because again, if maybe that's not what they have in mind, they have Shota and Narita for World Tag League, and then that's something that they want for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Shota's going to be in a title match at some point. It'll just depend what New Japan have for him.
That's what I think, is that I think that Shota and Ren Narita have a big chance of winning World Tag League. Because I can see New Japan being like, let's have them win World Tag League, then win the tag titles as their first big crowning achievement at Wrestle
Kingdom. Which would be huge for the two of them.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a hard
one. And they're creating the long-term story of them winning their first title together at Wrestle Kingdom, and then probably 5 years from now, main eventing Wrestle Kingdom. So it's long-term, a bigger thing.
Nowadays, especially so close to Wrestle Kingdom, it's not simply a case of yes or no. You've got to think of the other things around it. Like, similarly, I said I could have seen Robbie Eagles in the never six-man title, but then you've got to think that he's in junior tag league at the moment, and this and this and this person's holding this belt, so they can't do this. And it's like, this time of year is a hard one to predict stuff.
Always. And that's why I don't also want to put Shota Umino in a Sonata position of putting him in a spot that's probably too big for him right now.
Yeah, at the like, point. Yeah. He's also, can I just put out, I love Shota, and I was part of this at Royal Quest. He needs to cut his entrance down by at least half.
Points were made, as always, here on 8 Seconds.
Just end on that. We're going to end
on that. We're ending right on that note. Force it all. I'm SV3. This has been 8 Seconds. Cut your entrance down.